Meeting of the Community Relations Committee meeting to order. It's July 7th, 2021, 7 p.m. Can I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Chacon is absent. Forrestal?
Here.
Millen?
Here.
And Walter?
Here.
Thank you.
And we have a whole lot of visitors. We appreciate you all being here. This is to answer questions about what it's going to take to become a what it would be to become a district. The map up on the screen here shows all the different library districts that surround Yorkville. We have Samanok, we have Plano, we have Sugar Grove, Oswego, Plainfield, Charles B. Phillips Library, which is out in Newark. So we are pretty much surrounded almost on four sides. We have Joliet coming up from the south, but they're not a district library. They are a city library like we are. There are, you know, everybody calls Yorkville Swiss cheese with its city limits, because as you can see, the green is the city limits. All the little white holes in there, those are places that are not in the city limits. So we have a lot of different areas that are not covered by city limits. They don't pay city taxes. They don't pay library taxes on their property tax bill. Therefore, they would need to purchase a card. And it'd be nice if I could lay this map over that map. But all the little red dots, like up here in Bristol and up in out in Linwood, all the little red dots are people that have purchased library cards, the subscription cards. So obviously they're all in unincorporated areas, but a lot of them are down along the river and in that area between the river and 34. Down out west, where's this person? This is Brighton Oaks Drive, way out there. I want to thank Shelley's husband who made this map for us. He took all the data from where everybody lived that purchased a card and put it on this map, which made it quite helpful. So you can see there's a lot of people that from the area that are not in the city limits that are buying cards. The one area is down along here. Let's see, what else? So if we go along with my question and answers, the first one is, you know, if I was asking the question, first one would be, what is a library district, and how does it differ from being just a public library? Although library district, state law defines a library as a separate entity. They have their own, the board of directors, board of trustees, sets policy, sets the budget, sets the levy. The only thing that the city has control over is appointing the board members. With city council, the mayor appoints them, and the city council approves them. The difference between being a district is the board becomes an elected body. So the resident, same like the school district, they have an elected board. The term would be probably the same three years, 4 years, whatever was determined at the time of the district creation. But as far as everything else about the library, it would remain the same. The next question I would ask would be, you know, what is the process of converting to a district? And a conversion process can happen in three different ways. The library board would pass a resolution, send it over to the city council. The city council would approve it. If the city council approved it, then it would go to a court hearing. There would be public comment time. There would be a lot of, you know, public input as to the process. And the judge would decide based on public comments whether or not we could become a district or not. And the judge would determine when that date would be. So we would convert from a district, you know, it would be Yorkville Public Library District or something to that nature. There would be a cost to that process, well, which would be about $16,000 for legal costs. Second option would be that if we would put out a referendum, the referendum would be for the city residents of Yorkville. They would say either yes or no to convert the library to a district. So based on that, I believe there might have been a court hearing on that as well, but basically if the referendum passed, the library would become a district. Third way would be a public initiative would come out. They would gather signatures on a petition, send that petition to the county, and then in that manner they would have a referendum on the ballot to convert to a district. Same process. Yes.
How many signatures would be needed for that petition to, if we have it?
It's 10% of the registered voters of Yorkville. So you would have to have all the signatures and somebody could say, I want those checked. So it's 10% of the registered voters of Yorkville have to sign a petition.
So realistically, for the challenges, you'd probably need to get more like 20%. So that the challenges would go, you know, you'd still end up with 10%. Yeah.
In two of these instances you mentioned, there is some involvement by a judge, a court. What is the criteria by which the judge makes that decision? Is there statutory criteria
That's something that our lawyer would basically, we'd bring him in, and he would go to the judge if say the city agreed to us becoming a library district, or if it went to referendum and it passed, then the judge has to look at, say, what the property is, has to look at what the boundaries are going to be for the property itself. Of course, all the bonds, all the debt, everything remains the same for the library. So whatever bonds we have remains the same. The levy remains the same no matter what.
So let's assume the first alternative. The library trustees approve a resolution. City council goes along with it. Now goes to the judge. Mm-hmm. And the judge says, I don't like you guys, so I'm going to say no.
The judge,
what controls his discretion or her discretion?
The judge will have an open hearing, and so it will go out to all those in the area that will say, this is your time, public, to have your comment. And then the judge will weigh what the comments are and then make the decision.
And in that process, there's no referendum.
That's right.
It's just the judge says yes or no after resolution in city council.
Right. So you would have to prove that, you know, he would look to see that the library would remain solvent. So there'd be a lot of information that has to go to the judge, plus the public would have to have their chance to speak as well.
But if either one of the petition methods, two or three of those, were used, and they resulted in the public saying, yes, by golly, we're going to have a district, there's no judicial review of that? It happens at that point?
The judicial review, it still goes through the judge. So if it's a referendum, then the people have spoken. They want a district, and that I think just basically goes to a judge and just says how are we going to create the district. You know, library. This is your property. This is what you have now. This is, you get the deed to the property, whereas the city holds the deed, and so the judge just has to make sure everything is spoken for.
But the judge does not have discretion to overturn.
You cannot overturn an election.
No.
does the board decide on one, two, or three, and how they want to proceed?
Well, the board would decide on one or two. Number three is a public option that a public committee would form themselves and go get signatures for a petition to petition the county to put a referendum on the. It wouldn't involve the library, the board, or the city at all. It would be a public, okay. Public option to get the referendum on a ballot.
Russ, your Swiss cheese analogy.
Yep.
If you went either one of the two methods, second or third, who is entitled to vote? Only people who are currently in the...
Only the people currently in the city limits. Because if the library becomes a district by one, two, or three, the district would involve the city limits.
Okay.
So only the people in Yorkville city limits would vote. Only Yorkville residents would be part of the district. So go, Judy.
So when we look at those, the preferred way would be the first way.
Yes.
So for the board to pass a resolution, take
yes.
it to city council, and the city council would say yes.
Yes.
Well,
so we hope.
We hope.
Yes.
And then it goes to the court.
Right.
When I have this article about Aurora Public Library, mm-hmm. and they recently became a district.
Correct.
And I was really interested because the article said that their last hurdle, the city council vote, was their last hurdle to becoming a district.
Okay.
Which they did.
Mm-hmm.
But it said that officials from both the library and the city have been laying the groundwork for the change for months. And so it sounds like that if the board passed a resolution,
mm-hmm.
that before you even talk to city council, you would need to work with them.
Yes.
To figure out the give and the take of what has happened
right.
and what will happen.
Correct.
And I don't know how likely that would be.
Right. Yeah, if we
have to try because
yeah.
that's the best way yeah. to go.
There's a lot of if you were to look at the library law, there's a whole section pertaining to the Aurora Public Library.
I know. Yes.
So they had the state pass a lot of amendments to the library law. That allowed them to have an elected library board and a few other
right.
things in there. Chicago is the same way.
Well, at the same time, though, it said that the city council approved a $2.7 million increase in the library's tax levy. This was December of this past year.
Yeah.
To set up the library financially for at least the next 10 years.
Right.
And to have them have extra money for, like, facilities maintenance issues.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say chiller.
Right.
There, but,
you know. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, I mean, they
yeah.
recognized, and so the city worked with the
right.
library.
Well, that would be a hurdle we would have to try and get over is getting cooperation from the city
to make it a two-way street.
We also have to make sure that we're solid.
Right.
Yes.
We've got to make
absolutely.
Sure
yeah.
before we even pass or even bring up a resolution, we have to make sure that we're solid. We still have bonds that we have to pay for the next 4 years.
Oops, what
yes.
happened? Where'd I go?
Is it 25? Is that one?
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't, we're okay. done
we're
here anywhere.
In 25.
And we're done here.
How much is that per year with
it's
the bonds?
$200,000.
$200,000. And what's the cost to run the library at the break even point per year?
Close to $1 million.
$1 million.
Yeah, close to $1 million. That's what our current levy is. It's close to $1 million, just shy of $1 million. My goal is to do this process without affecting the residents' tax bill. Right now, if you look on your tax bill, there is a line item that says Yorkville Public Library. And an amount. I believe on my tax bill, it's like $250, shy of $300 per year. If we become a district, this residents of Yorkville would not see it. My hope is we would not see an income. We would be looking
there would,
for... we would be looking for other.
There's no change in the levy. If you become a district, whatever was levied at that point still remains the same.
Yes.
So there's no increase to the citizens of Yorkville.
One of the things that the now newly elected trustees of the library would have is the authority to increase that levy.
That would still be by referendum.
Yeah.
Only by referendum.
Only by referendum. The goal would be to offer our services, library services, to those areas outside of the city limits. And that would also be done by a referendum. So places like Conover up here, you know, it's only a handful of houses, but we would have to ask that. We could ask each one of them and say, do you want to be part of the library district? Conover, there's the area by McHugh up to Cherry Lane and north of Spring Street, down on the other, down by the river, that is unincorporated. So over here on the west side of McHugh, it's incorporated. I used to live over there. The east side of McHugh, all the way to Cherry Lane, is unincorporated. And north from Spring Street to where Heartland Circle comes out, that's all unincorporated. There's maybe, I don't know, 75, maybe 100 houses in there. So it would be, you know, we could pick and choose those separate areas. We would have to pick and choose those separate areas and ask those residents, do you want to become part of the library district?
That doesn't mean part of the city.
That does not mean part of the city. It would be library district only, with library district taxes. That's it. Not part of the city.
It's akin to the school district. The school district encompasses, you know, the city limits, but also is outside of the city limits as well.
And so, you would then have to inform them of what their increase in the tax levy would be?
Correct. So, in a percentage amount.
And would it be approximately what the village?
It's based on, like all your property taxes, based on your assessed value.
Okay.
And it's so much per $100 of assessed value.
Yeah, the paper I looked at, like you, was like 2.something% or whatever.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Okay. And how much do you charge those people right now if they're not in the city?
It's an equation. I'll let Shelley. Shelley is our director. She can explain that better than I can.
We use the taxable method, so it's a multiplier. So it's the same as you pay if you are a city resident. It's that same multiplier that we use.
So that's by library law, right?
Yes, yeah, that is by library law. So they would bring it. They would bring in their tax bill, so we could see what their assessed value is.
The board votes on how it's done.
Yeah.
We do it by tax bill method.
Yeah.
And that makes it fair for the same size house that's unincorporated, and then one that's incorporated, they pay the same thing. This person, that household that would want to be in, you know, have a library card, would be a part of the library for that year, would pay the same as the person in the city. So it's got to be fair.
So, the reason we're looking at becoming a district is so we would have the option of asking other areas that are outside the city limits to join the library, become the library family, so they can participate in all the activities and everything that the library has to offer. Yes, it'll cost them a little bit of money to do that, which right now they have the option to say yes or no. We don't want the library card. We do like the library card. You know, there's programs. The people without a library card can join the programs as well, right? Or is it only limited to people with the cards? I don't.
To join.
Like a kids program or.
Do you require cards for
I kids? Request that patrons have the first opportunity to register for our programming.
Okay.
And then in the next three to four days prior to the program, that then non-registered or non-patrons can register.
So we give preferential treatment to people that have library cards, which is the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We don't do that for the adult program. So.
Okay. Okay. So it's a benefit to have a library card. You'd be able to check out books, use the computers, you know, use everything that the library has to offer. And there's a lot more to the library than just books. There's, which I didn't know until I saw the flyer in the elevator, you can actually get discounted or free tickets to museums and the zoo. I think you can register and get two passes to Brookfield Zoo for general admission, which right there would save you about $150, $200. So, it's Museum of Science and Industry, the Morton Arboretum. There's all kinds of different areas where you can get passes to get in at free or reduced amounts. So what's up on the screen now is the information that we investigated as to what our additional costs would be for, because we would, right now the city provides us with accounting service, payroll, liability, workman's comp, the audit, W-2s, and because of the franchise for ComEd with the city, that franchise agreement gives the city of Yorkville so many kilowatt hours of electricity to run stoplights, streetlights, public areas, whatever's left over, they can use to run City Hall, the electricity for City Hall. They can run this. We get benefit from that. Right now, I believe we pay about $5,000 a year for the electricity to run the building. If we became a district, we would lose that benefit. So we would have to find a different way. As you can see up there, we estimated that it would be $60,000 a year to run the building. Because it's a big building, it's almost 40,000 square feet. So it takes a lot to heat and air condition the bill. We already pay for our own NICOR gas, because there is no franchise agreement that gives us free gas. So we're, on that point, it's already built into our budget. I think we pay, during the winter, I think I've seen a bill for $1,100. A bill that I wouldn't want to see from my house. But there are programs that we would try to find that would help us reduce that $60,000 to a more manageable size. The other big expense would be the benefit plan. Just recently I got a reply back from the city's benefit management servers, and because we would be going from a employees of about 65 to a employees of about 5, it would add about $26,000 to our benefit costs: health insurance, vision insurance, life insurance, dental insurance that we provide for all our full-time employees. So that's another big that we'd either have to find a way of reducing or maybe bid it out to find somebody, because I think right now we're paying, I want to say probably $60,000, no, it's more than that. I want to say it's closer to about $120,000 for our benefits for the employees. Snow removal, we'd have to figure out how to deal with our, unless the city, because the police department's going to be moving sometime soon, so parking lot will be ours. Mowing and landscaping, which pretty much we do that already. The city does mow. But we do our own landscaping, we do our own cleanup, as Judy is well aware.
And a lot of
everybody else here is well aware that we do our own cleanup, which is fabulous that they help out doing that. Payroll, I did talk with Tom Lindblom, who's the, the deputy fire chief for Bristol Kendall Fire Department. And I got a lot of these companies from him that the fire department uses, governmental accounting and Paylocity they use for their payroll. So, the accounting services would prepare all our bills for payment. We would print the checks. We would sign the checks. They would have no control over the money. So, there's that check and balance. we have our own bonding service that we pay for to make sure that everything is taken care of in that respect. So basically, we got about $160,000 additional cost to our budget.
So does that mean the city basically now kicks in $160,000 to kind of towards the library?
No. Well, yes, pretty much. Well, yes and no.
Well, not the electric.
Not the electric. The electric is kicked in by ComEd. The benefit plan, because we're part of the city's group of 65, excuse me, I seem to be losing my voice. Because we're going from a pool of 65 to a pool of 5, that's where that additional part. So there's $86,000-$87,000 right there that the city doesn't kick in. Snow removal, the Public Works takes care of the snow removal on their B list when they do the streets. Occasionally, we do have staff come out here and shovel the sidewalks in front of the library because the city hasn't been around to do it yet. Because they have other priorities, getting the main streets taken care of when it snows. There are parts of this bill that the city does provide for us. Not $160,000 worth.
The agreement with ComEd.
Yes.
If we were to become a district, is it automatic that we are outside of that agreement, or could ComEd extend that agreement to us, or how?
I believe we're just automatically outside that franchise agreement. And I do not believe that it could be extended back to us.
Who would be doing the extending? ComEd?
ComEd would be doing the extending. Okay. So we would have to contact them. We would do that anyway. We'd contact them,
sure.
Find out what options we had to reduce that bill, work with maybe some of the other library districts in the area, find out how they're handling their electricity bills. There's all kinds of ways that might be available.
Right. I have no idea that this exists, but the other districts, library mm-hmm. districts, who are operating under similar financial constraints to what we do in terms of health insurance, all those sorts of things.
Yes.
Is there any coalition of those people that exists? I mean, wouldn't you think that somebody would have figured out that if all these library districts got together, pooled their
resources,
pooled their staff,
yeah,
and went after an insurance based upon the larger number,
yeah,
they could all benefit from it. I don't know if that's happened.
Shelley, do you know if that has happened?
There is, through Rails, there is an insurance
consortium, sort of?
Yes.
Okay.
Vera is what it's called.
So it is possible that some arrangement might be worked out with them which would
reduce that money. Yes. Yes.
That's a big chunk.
That's a huge chunk.
Have anybody from this board reached out to the other library district yet and had any conversation with them?
We have not. I have not. I don't think Darren has. I don't think you have.
I talked to Deanna from Plano. She just gave me things to think about. And that's what Russ has been talking about, insurance and separate from the city. Now we have to take care of our payroll, our own HR, just those kinds of things. And she was the one that mentioned this insurance agency through Rails. So.
Yeah, there's it's a big expense. Yeah, could we do this with a referendum to cover that cost? Yes, to raise our levy. I would not want to do that. I'd like to investigate. We just recently put on a person that has grant writing skills and experience writing grants. And one of the things I've asked Shelley to ask this person is to try and research how, you know, what is available for libraries to tap into to fund the transition from being a public library to a library district. I mean, there's the Carnegie Foundation that supports libraries. I think they're all over on the East Coast. There's Jeff Bezos' wife who has donated significant amounts of money to various educational resources. I think she gave, what did you say, Darren? How much money did she give to the Chicago?
Quite a few million dollars.
It would take care of our problem for quite a while, yes, until we could get some of it. Because we could become a district tomorrow, unlikely, but say for argument's sake, we became a district tomorrow. That is no guarantee that the areas that we would select to bring into the district would approve that. And that would be the hope, that we would bring those areas in to cover the added expense without increasing everybody's taxes. Increasing the taxes would be the easy way to do it, but that would not be the right way to do it, in my opinion. And I'm assuming all of your opinions as well. let's see, what else do we have on my list? Will taxes be affected? Not if you're a resident of Yorkville. How will the converting to a library district affect the library operation? It won't. The library will still be here. The staff will still be here the same. We'll still have the same number of programs, books, opportunities. Everything will remain the same. And the advantages that we would be able to expand our reach to those areas that aren't affected right now or aren't covered right now, and offer them the ability to join in with the library to get the full benefit of what the library has to offer. Help them, you know, get what they need. We just recently increased our internet bandwidth, so now we have a gigabit fiber connection in here. So come on in, use your computer in here. If your equipment can handle it, you've got much better bandwidth than we used to have. We had Comcast copper at, I think, 100 megabits by 25, so it was pretty slow. Now we have pretty fast internet, so it's a huge benefit to be here. We're working on doing some things where if you needed a place to work, we could use some of the study rooms as a place to work where you could work quietly, use your phone without affecting other people. There are advantages to coming into the library. Use the resources that we have. Let's see, what else do I have up here that was interesting?
What do you see as your next step?
Figuring out how to come up with $160,000 or reduce that $160,000 so that we could tweak it into our budget somehow.
And what would it have to be manageable in your annual budget? What amount would be doable for your annual budget?
Total budget or additional?
Additional. What additional? What's the maximum you can absorb?
Do you know what a maximum amount we could? Susan is our treasurer, and I'm asking. I'm sorry, I caught you with your mouth full.
We usually run pretty
close to the
pretty
edge.
Close to the edge. We do have a little bit in savings.
Yeah.
But that's for emergencies.
That's for emergencies.
Right, that's what I remember that was set aside for. So big ticket things.
I mean, the amount that we can absorb without touching the emergency is not much because we budget pretty close to zero.
Historically, we pass a budget that is roughly $45,000 above what we get as property taxes. So we pass a deficit budget. But by the end of the year, with our frugalness, Shelley's frugalness, our director's frugalness, the board approving only those things that need to be done, we usually come out with a surplus in our budget. May not be much, may only be $18,000, $20,000, but we at least stayed within what we needed. Dixie?
Would we still be collecting development fees?
We would. That would not change. So we would still get those development fees. Yes?
One of the advantages, I guess, to Shelley is the expanded hours of operation. How does your staff feel about that?
We haven't talked to them about that yet.
Just wondering if there was any talk going on.
It's been a long time since we've had our hours, probably 2000.
Right after the crash in 2008 is when we curtailed the hours.
Right.
We need to expand our hours. I think closing at 7 o'clock is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And opening at 10 in the morning. Right. Not until 10. Yeah. I think it would be utilized a lot more in the morning than in the evening.
But that would take more money.
Right.
That's the only way you can do that, too. So.
Well, I agree 100%. I think we need to expand the hours, especially in the evening. I spent half my time in a suite in the library because, I mean, what kind of kids, like junior high or high school kids, they're going to go to the school play or whatever, they're in activities, sports, come home 5:30, eat dinner 6 o'clock, come over 6:15. You're not going to stay for 45 minutes. You go to the Oswego library. There's kids with Brookfield gear on there all the time. And I think that might be, that's how you got to sell it to the public. You know, you've got this beautiful building here. You've got to use it and open it up. You know, but, you know, big sell, I think, is like, hey, our taxes aren't, you know, people, hey, is my tax going to go up? That's all they care about, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, if you can sell it and somehow guarantee, hey, we're not getting up there. But I agree 100%. You got to expand the hours in the evening because you get a lot more flow in there. They get good flow and speed up.
I lost my bet. Yes.
We get the end of the year and you've been frugal and everybody has been frugal and all that good stuff and you've got a $20,000 surplus. What happens to that money? Does that go back to the city?
No. All the money that is levied for the library stays with the library.
Okay, so that
comes through the city. The county collects it. They transfer it to the city. The city transfers it right over to us. They have no say-so on how it's spent. They transfer to us. It's part of our budget. It stays with the library.
Okay, so the $20,000 surplus at the end of the year goes into that rainy day fund? Is that the...
Yes. Okay, where did I...
If let's just say you got that $60,000 electric to a more management,
yes,
and that you would have to have, let's just say, $100,000 more a year. If you could do that, if you could get 40 people who live in unincorporated Yorkville to say they want to become, by vote, I know they have to vote, become
right,
part of the library district, just figuring $250 on an average of a yearly tax bill,
yes,
$250 average, 40 extra people gives you $100,000. But you don't know what you're going to get if you're going to get two people. If you become at this point, it's an unknown.
Right. It's a hard nut to crack that, you know, where do we have the ability to do this?
Is there any way that we could, be able to survey these unincorporated areas? Like, I don't know if we're allowed to send out personnel or something and knock on doors and just say, hey, would you be interested in this? And then give people information about it. Like, do you think we would need some sort of permit from the city to be able to do that?
We might be able to. We could have more meetings like this and specifically ask those people to come join us. That was the intention of this meeting, was to bring those people here. So they could ask questions and get them answered and get their support or not, whatever. So far, nobody. I mean, Oswego is has some areas that are very obviously very close to the city limits of Yorkville. The only way we can take over a library district area is if the city of Yorkville annexed that part of, say, Oswego Library up here north of town, if they, whatever this area is right here, if Yorkville decided to annex that area, Oswego, the library district, would lose that area. We would gain it because of being a city library. Way back when everybody here remembers the controversy over the landfill south of town along 71. When Yorkville annexed this area down here where the landfill was going to be, that was part of Charles B. Phillips Public Library District out in Newark. The Yorkville Public Library gained that farmland as part of our area. So, you know, that's the only way that we as the library could take over a library district area. If we were a library district and Oswego annexed, say, this area right in here, or along the river up here, there would be nothing we could do about it. We could have battling districts. Say, join the Oswego district, join the Yorkville district, however you want, you know, whatever. But yeah, this is Whitetail, that area out by Whitetail. You see they annexed a little strip of land all the way down here so they could pick up some of those houses down by Whitetail. So yeah, and they're coming out here.
100,000.
And, you know, and we got Joliet coming. They were coming fast and furious down from the southeast. They seem to have stopped with everybody else. But that may start again.
Do we know what their rates, for example, do we know what Oswego's rate is or any of these other districts?
We would have to look at their a tax bill from that.
Okay.
It's public knowledge. It could be gotten, their levy, it was.
Could we market this by saying we're the least expensive library district in the area?
We could do it that way, yes. And one thing we have that has nothing to do with the library district, the bond issue, which is roughly 40% of what's on your tax bill, maybe a little more, those bonds will be paid off in 2025. So that amount of money will go off your tax bill. So we won't be collecting that kind of, you probably won't see the decrease until 2026, but the bonds will be paid for in 2025.
So since that money goes away, we could try to convince folks that instead of having that money go away, that money goes into the library's general fund or
by referendum. Yes, we could say we've paid the debt. You've paid the piper, paid for the building. Now, if you agree, we'll keep that amount of money on your tax bill to help pay for the operation of the library.
No increase in your taxes whatsoever.
It would be no increase in your taxes. Currently, correct. So we would just add what you were paying for the bonds to the library operation.
What's that amount? How much is that amount?
I'd have to look at our budget. It's
about $200,000 on our bonds every year.
I think it's more than that. I'd have to look at our budget.
We owe $800,000.
We what?
I believe we owe $800,000.
Okay. So yeah, we're coming down to the end. So it would be roughly, it would be enough to cover the expenses that we would incur. Yes?
Is that referendum is part of what's holding us back from becoming a district because we owe that money? Because it seems like all the other towns around us that have become districts, they would have some of the same issues like with electricity or whatever that we're having. So
yes.
What's making the difference for Yorkville versus like Oswego or Plano or whatever is it that
they have a larger area that they're pulling resources from. We have what's in green up here. Oswego has all this yellow area that's down here. Plano has this big square over here, and Charles B. Phillips has mostly farmland, but it goes all the way back through Millbrook, Newark, all in that area. So basically, you know, they have a larger pool that they're pulling money from.
Your bill was like 3-4 years ago, Plano, 3-4 years ago became districts. How did they get all this area? Because I know Plano village limits don't look like that big square. How did they get all of those?
I'm not aware of how they did that. We could ask.
And as far as library district for a while.
Yeah. Same with Charles B. Phillips Library. They've been a district since the late 80s, I believe.
Is the laws different then?
Laws change all the time.
The years just kept adding more area.
Yeah, laws change all the time. It's easy to annex farmland.
So I looked at our budget for the fiscal year 2022, which is what we're in right now, and we have $645,000 for our refunding bond and $75,000 for our regular bond to pay this fiscal year. So
yeah, I don't remember exactly when, but the original bonds that were sold in 2005 and 6 were refinanced somewhere around 2010, 2011-ish.
The 2006 bond is the one that we have $75,000 left on.
Okay.
And there's a 2013 refunding bond that we're paying $645,000 on.
Okay.
So 2000.
Yeah. So back when we built the building, we sold bonds twice. We sold bonds once to cover the startup costs of the construction, like the architect and the general contractor and some incidentals to get the construction process going. It's like $1.5 million to $2 million, something in that neighborhood. And then later on, we sold the significant portion of bonds to actually construct and furnish the whole building. So there was two bond issues back then. And again, then the bonds were sold by the city, but the money that was collected from those bonds came to the library. The city had no say-so on how that money was spent. That was all up to the library board. And I'm the last member on the board that was part of that process. Yes, Daniel.
So going back to earlier on how neighboring districts, how other neighboring city libraries became districts, is it because of your Phil's Swiss cheese nature that we have had problems with funding and haven't been able to do anything?
Well, we've never, and as far as I can tell, in the history of the Yorkville Public Library, from its inception, has never requested a rate increase from the residents of Yorkville. We've always worked within our 0.15 statutory limit. Some years we were down as far as 0.11, but mostly we've been between 0.14 and 0.15 because of the tax cap, limiting our increases to CPI or 4%, was it?
I think so.
Yeah. So we can only increase our levy by a certain amount based on the tax cap. So it hits us pretty hard with the tax cap. But we do the best we can. There were many years in the past where we had a line item on our budget to buy books, but we had no money in that line item to buy books. We were buying books using development fees and from the support of the Friends of the Library. We were getting books, and that's the only way we were buying books. I want to say it was probably 2012, 2013, before we started putting money in that line item to buy books. And I think we started out with $2,000 in there to buy books for the library.
I think it was later than that, actually.
Was it?
Yeah.
Our budget line item for books, right now, is $2,000.
And thank goodness our staff supported us. There was about 5 years, 6 years, they worked without a raise. They never got a raise, and we thank them every day that they stuck with us. Because at least now we can give them a raise.
So we need money.
We need money. it is possible that, that through a referendum we could not affect your taxes, but increase the money that the library gets for operation once the bonds are paid for. So 2025, we could maybe put out a referendum if we're not a district already. I'm presuming the process to become a district would take at least a year, if not more, with everything that all the bricks that have to fall in line to become a district. It would have to be, you know, take about a year for all that to happen.
So there's two pieces to this, it seems to me. One is get the amount of money that comes to the library up.
Yep.
The second one is to take it, that $160,000 approximately that you were showing us, and
get it
maybe
down.
Item by item reduce that to a more manageable number.
Yes. Now, the audit is based on how big our budget is.
Right.
So that could go up or down. The accounting services, it depends on what you have them do. You're going to have them do everything, or you're going to have them piecemeal it. I asked the Paylocity people, because we only have five people that really need to be able to, we need to track time, vacation time, personal time, sick time, all that. The rest of them are all part-timers that don't get those benefits. But it's a one size fits all. If one gets it, they all get it. So, you know, there's not much we can do about that unless we find a different payroll company, but they're all roughly the same amount of money. The electric is the biggest one, and the benefit package is the next biggest one. We would have to be able to, you know, find an option to reduce that payroll. I mean, we could try and reduce things out of the budget. These are additional things.
Yeah.
We could find things in our budget maybe that we could reduce, like the benefit package. The full-time employees may not like what they get, because right now they have a pretty nice benefit package, but depending on, you know, what's available, when we do with a Rails, if everybody doesn't know what Rails is, that's the group we belong to as a library, so that you can get a book from downstate Illinois or, you know, any other library in the state of Illinois, except Oswego. I think they're a standalone library, but you can get them from them too, right? Yeah, okay. But, you know, doing something from Rails with that consortium for a benefit package, something to investigate. How to, you know, what's the best we can get for the least amount of money and still keep our employees happy with what they have.
It would be worthwhile to know if that Rails consortium, what their benefit package looks like compared to ours.
Yes, it would. Can you find that out for me, Shelley, or for us, or do you know?
I can share it.
That is insurance. That's not benefits.
Okay.
It's liability insurance, umbrella insurance.
Oh, okay. That's, so it's all this stuff up here, the,
yes,
the workers' comp, the general liability, and the workman's comp, and the property insurance. Actually, with the size, what the property insurance told me was, or what the city told me was, the buildings, both of them, are insured for almost $5 million, plus the contents. And I think we have another $2 or $3 million in contents, books, computers, furniture, all that stuff. And the liability is, I believe, a $2 million umbrella on top of all of that. So, you know, a lot of that is a package. So we would have to check with Rails, or maybe check with Plano or Oswego and find out how they deal with it. Figure out if maybe we can do some kind of benefit package consortium and get those numbers down, because we're a bigger group.
I have a question. There are five board members here tonight.
Yes.
And this is something that, you know, we're all listening. We have questions about. Do you know and I'm not asking for it, but do you know if the board is committed to pursuing this, or are you just spinning your wheels?
Hard question to answer right now.
Okay. It's going to take so much work.
It is. It's a lot of work.
Because the money part is really what's keeping you from taking that next step.
Right.
But if the board members aren't behind this, then it's moot.
I have not polled the new members, other than Rosie. I'm not sure how she feels one way or the other.
I'm not asking.
Let's not put you on the spot.
No, I'm not. I just was wondering if you had a feel for what the board feels, only because there's no point in pursuing anything looking at it if they don't want to do it.
I can speak for the old members. I can speak for myself. I'm 100% committed for it, that this is something that needs to be done. The rest of the board, they would have to make up their own decision. And without actually taking a vote to commit to doing this, I don't know which way they would go. And we cannot, in good faith, take a vote to begin this process until we really have the money in line. Because you can't start this process, have the city say, yep, go ahead, go for it, and then we go, oops, well, maybe not.
Because you are the gatekeepers. And
yes,
we are. You are the ones that are responsible for the money for this library.
Yes.
It's your job. And so if they don't want it to be their job, then you can't go anywhere.
Right.
So you can't go anywhere unless they agree. You can't get them to agree unless you get some money to
pay. Correct.
Oh, bribes. No.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we're in a catch-22 position.
Okay.
Yes.
Very
much so.
The money is the key, right? Yeah.
It's
the money.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
So, to be clear, if you got that offset from ComEd for $60,000, you basically need $100,000 a year for the next 4 years until those bonds drop off.
Yes.
Am I correct there? So, $400,000, and you got to raise or somehow accrue $100,000 a year, then you have.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the $60,000 annual, we still have some part of that, no matter what. It may not be $60,000. We hope it wouldn't be $60,000. It may only be $20,000. It would be nice if it was $10,000. But there is some portion of that $60,000. That we would have to pay, no matter how we managed it, whether whatever would happen, we would still have to pay some of that $60,000 as an electric cost.
Can you find that out by talking to ComEd itself? If you break away, can you talk to?
We can't. I'm not sure if I have. I can find out from Rob who the franchise contact is, and I can give them a call and find out. Say we're trying to determine. We came up with this $60,000 by pulling 6 months worth of electric bills, using our and looking at our the rate they charge and the amount of money that they and the rates. The kilowatt hours and the rate that they were charging, and that was one of the things Jason did before he was replaced, and he came up with $60,000 is what our additional cost would be.
And maybe they'll surprise us.
Maybe they will surprise us and say, "Yep, we can stay on the franchise."
If you're going to put this to a vote of the trustees, you need harder numbers to place.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Yes. About the only really hard numbers that I have are up to the electric. All this up here came straight from the companies that provide the service. The electric, we would have to call ComEd and say, based on our usage, and they should know our usage, what can we do about this bill if we become a district? How can we manage this bill beyond just paying the flat rate for it? Yes.
Yeah, Rosie was going to jump in twice.
Right.
And I'd like to hear what she has to say.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, Rosie. I really don't.
I mean,
What I was going to say is that I don't think at this point we have enough information. I think there's a lot more information that needs to be disseminated to us. I think there's a lot of things to consider. I would have a hard time considering cutting benefits to your employees. I think there's a lot of maintenance that needs to get done on the building.
Yep.
I think the scope of dollars that we need goes well beyond $160,000.
Probably does.
So your reluctance is financial part at this point?
That's the only thing I've looked at so far.
Yeah.
That's the only thing we've really talked about so far.
The bill,
but I mean, we're...
The biggest sword of Damocles over hanging over our head is the money.
Right. But if you get more concrete figures from that, wherever you said down,
right.
and then have the rest of the board involved in knowing exactly, you know, where you are a little bit better financially, that might help them, like Rosie said, to make a more
right.
educated
right.
decision if they know the figures.
And, she,
right.
and the other thing is that, you know, and I heard that comment about Oswego, and they are booming there. They have people there, and they're thriving. And it concerns me that we want to change the way we're working this as far as a library district versus what we are now. But really, I mean, I would like to see us put more energy into how can we bring new programs and how can we help staff and is there things that we can research or do as a board to help really grow the library and get more people in? And just hearing comments about changing the hours, maybe that is something that helps the library. Maybe we do get more people involved, or maybe we do get more people excited to come to the library and use their library card and use the services here. And you talked about all the services that there are at the library. And how many people know that those services are out there? So, to me, I look at it more as what can we do to bring more people into the library and get more people to use the library? And does that solve our problem? And are we providing better services to our customers? And are people growing as human beings because of that?
Any other questions from anybody? We'll stay here as long as you guys have questions.
So, Russ?
Yeah.
One thing I want to make sure is that that we definitely allow people to do the public comment. I don't know if I know some others came in late. And so if anybody wants to actually address us and say, give us their opinion, they can. I just want to make sure that everybody has a chance to come up and voice their opinion. So if anybody who came in late or whatever wants to stand up and, you know, whether it's, you know, about this topic, they can.
Yeah.
I just want to offer that up.
And it doesn't matter if it's a pro or a con comment. Mm-hmm. Whatever's on your mind about the library converting to a district.
Well, I personally hope that it becomes a district.
Okay.
I'm somebody that's moved many times in my life, and the first thing I do when I put my house together is I go register to vote,
mm-hmm.
and I get a library card.
Okay.
That's my history.
Now you can do both things at the same place.
Yes,
you can.
You
register
can.
To vote and get
yes,
your library
you
card here at the library.
And it's, I just can't imagine a library, a town without a library. I love the library. All I really have to say.
Yes, sir.
I just have a question, though, because in all deference to the new members, I'm like, I know that some of the talk may sound like premature, and I think more the sword coming down is the fact that the mayor has said you guys didn't want to let us do the children's or the preschool thing here, so now I'm going to replace every single board member that voted against me. And that has been his opinion, and it's already started. So that's why I have nothing but as a citizen, as a concerned citizen, coming here saying, and I know this is the 800-pound gorilla in the room, saying we want to become a district so that the mayor can mess with the library. And that's why I came to here today, because the cost aside, that's ultimately what matters to me, because it's the library itself that continues as an institution going forward for the betterment of the library and its clients, not just to say, oh, we'll do whatever the mayor says.
Okay. Anybody else have an opinion?
Jumping on that point, I don't know who the new members are. It's my first library meeting really outside of that a month ago, but what he says makes a lot of sense. First of all, you have a lot of changeover. You got a lot of people volunteer on the library board over the number of years. I see people are off the board and on the board. You got these very dedicated volunteers out here, and I think that's really noble. You need to keep those people involved. It sure would be nice to have a little autonomy where the people could vote for their library members and, and represented in a much better way than being appointed. You know, and people appreciate people that, after a while, who works and who cares? And it sure would be nice to be able to have those people really represent. Not saying anybody on the board doesn't really volunteer your time. I truly appreciate the library, but it sure would be nice to have some autonomy where the people can voice their opinion.
I'm a library historian. I've been on the board for 21 years. So I know a lot about what, I don't know where all the skeletons are buried.
You have to go to the history department.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Thank you for doing this.
Yes.
And I can hope that if you do it again, that
you can
give a little more advance notice so we can get more people informed of
So many of the things that were said come down, at least in part, to marketing what we want to do to the people who will go out and make a decision.
Correct.
Marketing,
yes.
Marketing.
Yep. Well, I appreciate you all coming.
Thank you so much.
And we will have another one of these. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.